Let me reiterate, happy Father's Day to everybody that's called yourself a father here. Go ahead, Brother Gary. Amen, Brother Gary. Amen. 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 Father's Day are special for some of us, and then others have a broken heart for different reasons. Some of you daddies are not a big portion of your life, and others may have gone on. But anyway, I thank God to have my dad here with me today. Dad may have not have known what he was doing. He may have clearly known what he was doing, but he may not really have known what he was doing whenever he introduced us to a place like the old grocery or Sandy Sag or Muleshed Holler. See, those mean nothing to y'all. Both my brothers over here shaking their heads while we were up at, you know, going up the power line or up at the old fire tower, wherever we were at. We were spending time with our dad, and I appreciate that because not everybody has that. Not everybody has the ability to have fond memories of Little Glade Mill Pond or whatever their fond memories would be. But anyway, in that same token, I then took my little girls, whenever they were little, up to Little Glade Mill Pond and the places that we would go. But anyway, we'll be in the Word of God today, chapter number 3 of the book of Acts. Seems, again, to be very familiar scripture, but last Sunday's message, I'm going to reiterate just a little bit about it because it kind of coincides with what Brother Gary's testimony was over here. For years and years and years, a man by the name of Jack Badgett, all the way up to the 93rd year of life, had told everybody he was okay. What does that really mean whenever somebody says, I'm okay? Maybe it's that they've come to peace with themselves but never found peace with God. But Brother Gary, whenever his daddy was in the twilight of his life, he just called me up, and Gary and I talked, and he said, "Preacher, you've got to go see my dad." And I said, "Brother, I'm on it." So as it went, we were able to go, and I went over there and spent some time with Brother Jack Badgett. And he kept telling me the same thing that he would tell everybody else. "I'm okay. I'm okay." Finally, we just got through all the fluff and frills, and Brother Gwynn just got right down to it and asked him about his salvation. And at the age of 93, I did hear Brother Jack Badgett proclaim from the lower portion of his soul that he was thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ had saved him from his sins. Folks, you might not make it to 93. I mean, that's a long way to go to confess and assure yourself of salvation, but I'm glad you have that now, brother, because Miss Betty, you know, in her twilight already had it, but then your dad got it, and I'm thankful for that because that gives you peace of mind and knowing. Last Sunday's message was one that I preached on the fact that you can miss God in His own house. And I took you to the portion of Scriptures where the Lord Jesus Christ was standing before His family, standing before those that would follow Him, watched His miracles, and yet they still didn't know Him and didn't recognize Him as the Savior, as the God-man. They knew Him as a carpenter. They knew Him as Mary's son, but they still missed Him as God. And folks, if you miss Jesus Christ as God incarnate, then you missed what He's all about. He come down here as God. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He come down here to die for our sins, to become our atonement. And as I preached that scripture, I wondered how many in this same context of these walls would find Him. And who would not find Him? Who sees Him? Who don't? Who's lost and who's saved? But I do believe it's possible that you could miss God in His own house. I believe that. And that's sometimes the ones that were brought up in the church house. They've been around Him and the familiar nature of church, and they know all the right ways to walk and talk and things to say. They know the songs by heart. They probably can quote Scripture, but yet they've never had that intimate one-on-one relationship with the Savior. And that kind of scares me because I brought my children up in church. But thankfully, both of them made an early profession of faith. And I think it's because of what was expected. They did, Brother Tim. They were just little children. I mean, I can't give you their ages. Cindy probably had it written down somewhere. But they both made a very early profession of faith. But I'm glad that both of them later on swallowed any pride that might have had by saying, "Well, everybody already thinks I'm saved." And then a little bit later on in their lives, they went back to an altar and confessed themselves that they had been slipped to counterfeit, and that then they wanted to be saved. And I'm thankful for Macy's salvation. I'm thankful for Jake's salvation. We thought you were saved, Jake. And then just not too many years ago, here you were up here getting saved by God's grace. Many of you, you darkened the doors every time the doors were open, but yet you sit on the church pew as a lost person. Some have come to salvation. Some may still be sitting here lost. But I preached on missing God in His own house. Today it's along the same thought process, but it's missing our wants, but finding our needs. I want you to think about that, missing your wants, but finding your needs. In the third chapter of the book of Acts is where we'll be, and I would invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. We'll try our best to be as brief as the Lord will allow, but I went to bed last night with Jeremiah chapter 18 on my mind, and then also the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verse number 1 was on my mind. And I went through the scriptures thinking in my mind and talking in my heart's mind, in my mind about the people that failed. And Brother Gwynn, I looked at these people like Jonah. And I looked at these people like Samson. I looked at these people like David. I look at these people all through the scriptures and how that Moses was a murderer. And I looked at how that Paul held the cloaks of those that would stone the servant Stephen. I looked at all those people, Brother Chris, and what I thought would be the message this morning was the God of the second chance. And I was going to preach that God's going to give somebody here a second chance. And I believe that He is, but that's not going to be the message. But the Bible said that the word of the Lord came again unto Jonah the second time. And then you can find those that maybe had really boldly messed up in the sight of God. Samson's one of them. But he said, "Avenge me now." He said, give me one last cause, God, to do something for You. And he was placed between the pillars, and he brought down the house, killing more than he ever did in death than he did in life. I look at Moses and how that he had slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand, Brother Kenny, but how that God used him to bring forth a nation out of bondage. Let me tell you this really quickly. He is the God of the second chance. That's all I'm going to say about that message, because I'll preach it somewhere along the line.
He does not throw the clay away, as is recorded in Jeremiah at chapter number 18. But the Bible said he makes it again, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. So I'm going to say about the second chance message. But I want you to know, God's given you a second chance at salvation. God's given you another chance at redemption. God's given you another chance to be born again. He's given you a chance to get this thing fixed. And if you're already saved and you're already redeemed from the curse of the law and the hand of the enemy, then the second chance is for you to rededicate your life and get that thing fixed once and for all. Now, Brother Jody Phillips is a picture of somebody that was saved but still not yet sold out. And I believe that. That was several years ago. Brother Jody was a saved man, but he wasn't sold out into the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was when he finally got sold out and rededicated, that's when good things started happening in your life. But it wasn't just when good things started happening in his life. That's when there was an adversary that come up hard against this man. But I'm glad that you're still standing. I'm glad you're still a servant. I'm glad that God's bigger than that adversary that did come up against you. But I want you to see today that you can miss your wants but still get your needs. The book of Acts, chapter number 3, we're talking again about the lame man that's laid at the gate called Beautiful. The Bible said when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, so this is 3 p.m. on your clock if you're watching, being the ninth hour is 3 p.m., it said a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof your witnesses. And through his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Brother Gwynn, ask God to bless us, my friend. Hey, man, let me just say today, you've come to the place to get your needs met. This is not the place that you'll find all of your wants fulfilled, but it is the place that you can have your needs met. My great-grandfather, which I didn't ever know because he passed before I was born, used to run a little general mercantile, a country store. And whenever he passed, my grandpa took it over. And that would have been my daddy's daddy. And they had a cannery in that thing and canned blackberries. And in one end of that old building on a dusty dirt road in the eastern part of Wilkes County under the shadow of the Blue Ridge Escarpment of the mountains on that side of the county, people could come from all over that community. And Brother Tam, they could go in there if they needed flour or sugar or maybe canned goods. They can go in there. And their basic necessities could be met. They could get feed for their animals or grain for their animals. They could buy fertilizer for their crops. And everything pretty much, Varun, that they needed could be found at that little general store. And it was not long after Grandpa had closed the thing down that we moved back down from Maryland. And we ended up living in one end of that old tin metal store building for a while. And while we were there, before Mom and Dad bought the house that we ended up growing up in, and Robbie and I shared a room and growing up down there, listen, we did not have everything that you have today. I mean, most of the people back then, if you had a telephone, you had to wait for a lady by the name of Ellie Johnson to get off the line. Why? Because there's about eight people that's going to be on that line. It was an old party line, and you'd pick it up, and you'd have to wait for two old ladies talking about their feet falling asleep, or you'd hear all these different things. But now, brother, everybody got a cell phone. Not only do we have one, our kids have one, and probably the grandkids has got one, and we've got all of our needs have been met. I'm talking about physically speaking right now. All of our needs, Brother Tim, have just far surpassed anything that my mind could comprehend. I'm living way above my raising here. But I don't really have a need for anything. And in the great thing scheme of the church is that same way. As we get that way in our own walk, Brother Gwen, we get satisfied. And I'm not talking about that you should not be content, because the Bible teaches and Paul told us that in the state that you're in there, well, you should learn to be content. And we just studied that in our Sunday school lesson not long ago. Contentment with godliness is great gain. So it means something to be content. But I do believe inside the four walls of the local church, be in this one or Elkin Valley where my dad goes, or up at Harmony where Brother Troy's now pastoring, or over where Brother Scott's pastoring, up at Perlier where Brother Jamie's at, I believe that if you're not very careful within the confines of any church wall, Brother Gwen, that we have seen all of our needs met, Brother Chris. And because our needs are met, that we find ourselves so steeped in the age of the Laodiceans, coming from the third chapter of the book of Revelation, I think that we find ourselves so steeped in the blessings of Almighty God that, Brother Gwen, we sit back and we say that we are rich. And we are rich. I'm rich. By the standards of living and livelihood, I'm a rich man. But my goodness, church, when we look at us as a rich church, Brother Tam, we say that we're rich and we're increased with goods. We just remodeled not long ago. We've got fine carpet. We've got heat and air. We've got everything that we need. Brother Chris, it would be very easy for us to sit back and say that we've got it all. But knowing in our minds, Brother Tam, that there's still a greater need. And that's the need for the Holy Spirit of God to come in and out of these pews. You come in here out of want. You come in here wanting certain things. I just want to feel good. I just want to be beyond my burden. I just want to have a touch. I just want this or want that. We come in here with many different expectations, and whenever we come in here with all these variable wants and in our lives and in our minds, or you come in here just to get mama off your back. That's what I want. I just want mama to leave me alone. I want daddy to quit bugging me to come to church. I want that deacon to quit calling me. That's what I want. I want Jody to quit bugging me, asking me where I'm at every time I miss a couple services. That's the only reason you're here, is to have that want fulfilled. My goodness, folks, some of you need to get past your wants. I totally miss the want and find out what you really need. Here we are now, and I want you to see this. Even as those people would come to my grandpa or great-grandpa's store, they had the wants. And you know what, Brother Varun, they had those physical wants. They had them met right there at the general store. Later on, Robert Henson built a place down the road. My grandma was sick with a multiple sclerosis, and she ended up passing away at a very young age. And, but anyway, a man on down the road kind of passed that mantle of the feed and seed and the fertilizer. I'll pass it on down. And then Grandpa, sooner or later, those old rounded over gas pumps that was out there in front of the store, they were removed. And the next thing you know, the old metal tin building is no longer over there, Ryan. It's now been torn down. And you can't find any evidence of it over there. But it's still etched in this little boy's mind. And you say, well, what's it all about? Because that's where people went to get their needs met. And it was a different age and a different time back then. But bless God, I want this to never be torn down. I want this to never be shuttered up. I don't want to pass this off to a Robert Henson. I don't want another man up the road building something up there and putting in some kind of stadium lights and a thumping drum. I don't want somebody else to change the Bible. I don't want somebody down the street to come up with some new modern fangled version of what we're trying to do up here. Bless God, I want you to come up here, and I really don't care about your wants, just to be honest with you. But bless God, I pray that God, I will meet every spiritual need you've got. And the greater need of everything I'll preach about today is the need of salvation. This man is laid there at the gate called Beautiful. I bless God, he's there with many wants. He's wanting pity from those that would come by him. But bless God, rather than getting pity, what did he get? Bless God, he got a couple preachers that come along the way. A lot of you just want pity from somebody. Let me tell you, sympathy is a hard thing to find. And whenever you find it, it's a very fleeting thing. You better grab a hold of it. Why? Because it'll soon be like water and it'll slip through your hand. Sympathy don't last long. You take somebody that passes away, and everybody floods them with cards and flowers and calls. But then at a day or two, the cards stop coming. Day or two, the text stop coming to call. But bless God, Miss Shelby, you still got a great big God that still knows. And he still loves you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we're going to look into this scripture today with the Lord as our helper. It's already straight up noon. But bless God, I'm just now getting started. So I don't know who's here. And you, if you didn't bring anything, go get you a sandwich real quick and get back in here. But anyway, I just want you to understand something. There was a lady at the well in John chapter number 4. She went down there, Brother Varun. You know what she wanted? She wanted water. That's what her need was. She went down there and she had a great want for water. But greater than that, she had a need for water. But she had a need for the water that she couldn't draw from that well. So she missed her wants. You say, well, how'd she miss her wants? I'll show you that. She missed her wants because, Brother Crenn, when she walked down there, she carried a bucket. Am I right or wrong? When she went down there, she took a pail with her. Some of y'all look at me like maybe she didn't. She carried a pail with her. Go back to John chapter number 4. The Bible says she went down there to draw water. But over in verse number 28, the Bible said that she left her pot and went into the city. Now, she had a want, Brother John, or she'd have never took that bucket down there. Sometimes I believe you come down here and you don't even care to bring a bucket. Why? Because you really don't want from a heavenly court. You really don't want from an Almighty God. But God can make you miss your wants to give you your need. This man's sitting there. Bless God, Brother Chris, like I said. He's just sitting there at the gate. And I got a few considerations for you today. What's he doing? He's just sitting there every day as he was being found doing what he always did. He's out there begging. And bless God, I think that even as he was out there doing what he always does, Brother Chris, you better be found in what you always do, telling somebody about Jesus. Brother preachers, you better be found even as the lame man's out there with his set of wants. We better be doing what God's called us to do. Why? Because as he's got his wants, you've got their need. And you say, well, how am I going to help them? The same way that Peter did. The same way that John did. Fix your eyes on them. And whenever they stick out that hand for something, bless God, you put Jesus in it. Whenever they sit there with a want, you give them their need. And that'll help them along the way. Bless God, they'll be able to leave their pot and take the well with them whenever that takes place. So Peter and John, if they were not doing their duty, that man would have been back out there the next day, and the next day, and the next day. What would he been doing? He had been doing what he'd always been doing, sitting out there begging. But bless God, he moved beyond the begging, Brother Chris, and he got the blessing of Almighty God. And because of that, he wasn't laid out there the next day. Why? Because he didn't have to lay there anymore, because he received the blessing from Almighty God. His greater want was given away to his greater need. So look at this. I want you to see the men of God. Who were they? It was Peter and John. What were they doing? They were going to the temple to pray. So I want you to consider the men of God. I want you to consider yourself. I want you to consider your calling on your life, Brother Joe. If God's called you to preach, preach. If you have to do it in a nursing home, do it in a nursing home. If you have to do it in a prison or a jail, if you have to do it in a hayfield, do it wherever. If God puts a call on your life, then Brother Chris, take that open door and go and tell people about God. So the first consideration was the men of God. And that's not exclusive to men. It's the men and women. You women are supposed to be teaching the younger girls the ways of raising a household and the things of the Bible that teaches that about modesty and uprightness and sobriety and the things that really matter in the household. But the consideration of the men of God is one. I want you to consider the man at the gate, this crippled or lame man. He's out there and he's a picture of every single sinner. Every single one of us at some point in our time was just like that blind man or that lame man that was laid at the gate. Brother Gwen, he couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. Or he could talk, but he couldn't walk. And he can't do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's lame. Is that not every single one of us at some time? We're a lame man walking. We're just like Mephibosheth. We were lame because of the fall of another. And bless God, that lameness is passed down on us. But bless God, once the Lord Jesus Christ comes by and we get this man called Jesus, we then start walking by faith and not by sight. But this man is a picture. So we had the men of God. Then we had the man at the gate. And then we move right beyond the man instigate to the, we go to the miracle of this man getting up. And we need to consider that. Brother Chris, you could never get up here except that first God called you. And you couldn't first get called except that God first saved you. You got past your want, and bless God, it got right down to your need. And bless God, you might be like Paul, say, well, this is needful for me. Paul said, I have a desire to go and a desire to stay. He said, the need for me to stay is more greater for the people. Why? He said, I've got a desire to go be with God. He said, but it's more needful for you that I stay here. Why? Because they needed the gospel. They needed the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. We're almost past the introduction, and now we're going to get right into the mess. So you listen today as the Lord put this message on my heart about missing the wants, but getting your needs. That truly was the introduction, by the way. So don't fall out with me here in a minute. This man wanted charity. Look in verse number 1. The Bible said Peter and John went up to the temple to pray about the ninth hour. And there was a certain man. He was lame from his mother's womb, carried. Laid at the gate called Beautiful every day at the temple. What was he wanting? He was wanting a handout. He was wanting alms. He's looking for charity from somebody. He's wanting somebody to come by and to maybe give him a piece of money, maybe a coin to help him along the way. And no doubt this man, it was beyond his want. But bless God, he had a greater need, Brother Kenny. He had a need greater than charity. He had a need of conviction. He had a need that Almighty God, Brother Chris, would come by and do something for him that Peter and John in their flesh couldn't do. Boy, but what they did in the Spirit changed this man's life. He needed some compassion from somebody. He needed conviction from Almighty God. He was looking for silver. And bless God, what did he get? He got strength and salvation. He wanted gold, but God gave him something far beyond that. God gave him life and life abundantly. And whenever you take the totality of these scriptures, this man basically is every single one of us. He's helpless. He's hopeless. He's sitting there. He's not performing a job. He's not contributing to society. He's not doing a whole lot of benefit to anybody. He's just kind of sitting there occupying space. I wonder how many of us at some point in time, we went through the kind of the racket that we all do. We get up, we go to church, we go to school, we go to work, we go to wherever we're going. We're just kind of going through the motions. But is there not more than getting up and going to a factory? Is there not more than getting up and going to school for 12 years and getting a piece of paper to hang on a wall and then going and working tirelessly in a chicken processing plant for the next 30 years just to lay down and die? Is there not more to that? Is there not more to life than that? Is there not more, Brother John, than going setting store shelves? Is there not more than licking stamps? Is there not more than everything, Brother Danny? You better believe there is. There's a generation that Brother Kenny taught about, about a goodly heritage today, as we found in the book of 1 Peter in chapter number 2. Bless God, we've got something that we can invest in. And because of that investing, we can have something then to give. And when we give them something, Brother John, give them a goodly heritage. Give them something that they can then give to their children and pass on down the line. This lame man just sitting there. He's pretty much a miserable sight. And I wonder about all of us in our sinful condition. Were we not a miserable sight? I think we were. Some of you said, well, I was a pretty good feller. You still lost and done without God. Charity, pity. Pity can't carry you. Will pity lift you up? You know what pity does? Pity joins the party. Have you ever heard the saying that misery loves something? What does misery love? Company. Misery loves company. And if I can get you to be piteous toward me, and brother, I can get you down there in the gutter with me, get you down there in my own depression, you know what? You'll just get just like I am. And then you know what you'll do? Even though you're a man of faith and you're getting down there and wallowing in the mire with me in my pitiful condition, you'll start licking my wounds. And next thing you know, you're down there along with me and you're just as miserable as I am. And you'll start questioning, well, I wonder if that God really is able to touch this old boy. He may be beyond my God. Brother, he's not beyond your God. Don't get down there. I'm not saying don't have sympathy or empathy. Don't be pity toward people. But bless God, don't get down there with them. Bless God, instead of getting down there with them, why don't you give them Jesus and lift them up to where you are? Amen. That'd be the greater of the two, would it not? But misery does love company. This poor old man, he's down there pitiful. Pitiful. Pity can't carry you, Chris, but prayer can. And Peter and John knew what could lift that boy up. Are y'all all right? I wonder about y'all sometimes. Y'all are the reason I lose sleep.
Ask my wife. Y'all are the reason I lose sleep. I wake up wondering about you. You say, you shouldn't have us on your mind at 2 a.m. You're right, I shouldn't. I should be sleeping. But some of y'all worry about you. You say, why are you worried about us, preacher? Because some of you's never been in an altar. It'd be a shame for me to be your pastor for over 11 years, having never seen you in an altar. Well, preacher, I look at them that go up every service. Don't worry about them that go every service. Worry about you that ain't never been. That'd be the greater need right there rather than a want. Brother Gwynn, you ever had those people in your church when you pastored for 50 plus years? They used the altar every time you said, let's pray. Brother, they were there. And then you had those, Brother Kenny, that never seen the need to go down there. Maybe I just live a little reckless. Maybe my abandon is a little more reckless, Brother Tank. I got to use an altar. I got to have some prayer time with my Savior. This man was looking for pity. He was looking for silver. Silver can't satisfy. It just can't. There's people here together today, collectively together. I'd say we're from every end of the spectrum. I remember when our kids were little, Miss Cindy would go at the checkout store at Walmart, or back then it wasn't, well, it was Walmart, I guess, or Food Line. Brother Tim, you know what that young would do? She would have her calculator. She'd have her checkbook register open. And Brother Kenny, that was a time or two, and I remember it very vividly. You know what she would do? She would have to go back by the meat aisle or something, put back a pack of burger or something. Why? She just didn't have the money to buy it. She didn't have the money to buy it, so she couldn't get it. And I'd say there's people today that's from every end of the spectrum. You've got those that have to really closely watch what's going on as far as finances. But let me tell you, this man, he's wanting some silver. That's what he's wanting. He's out there with a handout. He's wanting a coin. He's wanting some silver. But my friend, silver can't satisfy you. Silver can't satisfy. Then we've got those on the other end of the spectrum that's got money in the bank, got a retirement set up. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible does not say that the love of great amounts of money is the root of all evil. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil, and it can be little or it can be much. But either way, it's a problem for people. But I'd say, I'm just saying today, silver can't satisfy you. Gold, it can't do for you what God can do for you. Gold can't supply your need, Brother Chris, but God can. So we're going to get on in here just a little bit. Keep going down through here. This lame man sitting at the gate, like I said, is a picture of every one of us before the Lord Jesus Christ come into our lives. Our wants from God and our needs are two different things. This man went from poverty to praising. Look at him. He's sitting there with a handout. The Bible said, in verse number 3, that who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, what did he do? He asked for an alms. He went from nothing, Brother Chris, to everything. He went from little to much. He went from broke to being blessed. He went from poverty to praise. He went from begging to believing. He went from wallowing in self-pity to walking in sight of an almighty God and in his favor and faith. He went from waiting for somebody to be a blessing to him to going up walking and leaping and worshiping with those that went in. He went from dependence unto deliverance. He went from laying there every day to leaping and walking with him that went up in there. Every single one of us is in this passage of scripture. Sinners know what they want. Sinners know what they want. They want one more good time. They want one more fix. They want one more hello, one more fling, one more fix, one more this or one more that. That's what they want. But my goodness, my friend, the greater need is for that person to move beyond, even miss their want and get their need met. Their need, my friend, will override that old flesh. It'll override that you thought you wanted. Brother Woody was here today. He would just say, praise the Lord, Pastor. Why? Because he changed fountains. Thought he wanted the drink of this world, but God gave him a drink from another world. He thought he wanted the drink of this world, Brother Chris, but God gave him a drink from somewhere that he's never drank from before, and it changes everything. Sinners are the same way. Backsliders. They think they know what they want. They just want us off their back. They just want us to leave them alone. I'm going back in here just for a minute. We're going to close this thing down. The Bible says in verse number 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. What are you saying about that, preacher? I'm going to use the words of Peter and John. I can't satisfy your wants. You said, well, call them deacons together right now. I've got a bunch of wants.
Call that deacon board together. We got that statement handed out every conference night, and I want you to see something, preacher. I've got a want right here. Move beyond your physical for just a few minutes. I'm about ready to close this thing down. Move beyond your physical for just a few minutes. Are you hearing me? Move beyond your physical for just a few minutes, and let's tap into your spiritual. You said, well, preacher, I'm okay. I'm rich. Have you become to the point of richness that now you don't need? Hey, this is to the church. The church got rich. They said, hey, we're rich. We got it all. You might be in that situation right now and say, well, I'm rich. I don't need anything else, preacher. All my wants were met. My needs were given and my wants were met. And you know what we did? Brother Danny was sat back. Said, we're going to sit here now. We don't need anything else. The Bible said when you get to that point, you know what you do to God? It's in the scriptures. Do you know what you do to God when you get to that point of self-satisfaction? You make God sick. You said, can you show me that in the scriptures? I believe I can. Because the Bible said, and they said that we're rich and increase of good and have need of nothing. But he said, but thou knowest not that thou art blind and miserable and wretched and naked. And what did he say because of that, Brother Kenny? He said, because you're neither hot nor cold. What did he say? He said, I will spew you out. Do the translation on that, and that goes back to the word vomit. He said, I will spew you out. I will regurgitate you because you make me sick. Let's not make God sick. Let's move beyond our wants. Brother John, you might miss your wants, but when you miss your wants and he taps into that and gives you your need, you know what you just did? Brother, you thought it was just going to be a bunt to get on first base. That's all you want. The coach put me in. He just said, move the bases. Just move the previous batter. Just get over there to first. Just bunt him around. And next thing you know, you just lobbed one over the fence. When your needs are met, brother, that's what God's doing. He said, I want you to watch this. He said, you're just wanting a bunt. You're just wanting to get on single. You're just wanting to have this or that. But God says, watch this. He said, you probably don't know my power. If that's all you think you want, let me show you this. Brother Joe, can you imagine this old boy? And I'm not going to go back into the whole story. He's laid out there. Here comes two preachers. They look at him, fix their eyes on him. And I don't know what he says exactly, except what the scripture said, asking an alms. Brother Tame said, he could have said, hey, y'all got a denarii? Y'all got a coin? You got any money? You've seen them. We've all seen them. Got a little piece of change for me to help a man out. I've seen you laying out here. And I don't have what you want, but I tell you what, I've got what you need. And because I've got what you need, the Bible said, fastening his eyes on him, he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Robbie, that boy's not walked. The Bible said he didn't walk from the womb. Have you ever broken anything and seen the rigidity of the muscle and how they get kind of stiff, and there's nothing there. You can't use them. I broke this wrist back yonder. Y'all remember that when I was in here preaching with that big old Brother Tam, that arm was weak. Arm had gone from a big, pretty good size forearm. It shriveled up a little bit. It lost muscle mass. Can you imagine this old boy, Tam? Never walked. Bob said he had never walked from the womb, brother. He's lame from his feet. He can't walk. Never had been on them old wobbly knees. But all of a sudden he goes, the Bible says walking and leaping. He goes, oh, oh. Where'd he go?
Amen.
Where'd he go? I want you to see this. I'm closing. Miss Macy, come over. Brother Scott, come up. Where'd he go? Then he said, I ain't never done this before. So he takes off and I know it's the Lord's day and I know it's the hour of prayer, being about the ninth hour. That's when they go up there to pray every day. But I ain't never been fishing before. I ain't never been down there. So where'd he go? Brother Gwynn said, I'm going to get me a boat. I'm going to the lake on Sunday. Bless God, that's what's wrong in America. We have got every one of our wants in front of our knees. And brother, we flood to the mountains and the coast and we flood everywhere. We go everywhere. And brother, we put everything before God. And there's a man that's affiliated with his church. When I see him, he said, well, I usually go fishing on Sunday. You know what I told him one day? I probably shouldn't have said it, and he's probably mad at me, but I hope he's not. I said, I hope your boat sinks. Oh, not that you would suffer harm, but it'd be better off for that boat to be at the bottom of Kerr Scott than you be on a pew than sitting there dying and going to a devil's hell, but have every want you've ever wanted and needed. Brother Kenny, did the Bible say that man turned and took off down to the sheep market? Did it say he went running through the streets hollering, whoa? No. Brother Tammy said he went with them into the temple. Why? There's a definitive statement that he knew where the help come from. It didn't come from Peter. It didn't come from John. Because it come from them men that said, we don't have what you want. We don't have what you're asking. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, that I do have. You said, what did he have? Bless God, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, that's what I've got, and that's what I'm going to give you.
Yes.
And they give that old man the gift of Jesus. And the Bible said immediately.
Yes.
He didn't go to AAA. He didn't go to Alcoholics Anonymous. He didn't get a patch and a 12-step process to spiritual maturation. Bless God, he went to the cross the same way that the other two did. With an eye of faith, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went because of that, walking and leaping and praising God right up into the temple with the others. Today, I hope you come here today and totally miss your wants. But I hope that you totally will get your needs met here today. They're two different things distinctly. As we stand all over the house of God today,